And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. We're joined now by Greg Sharp, the voice of Nebraska Cornhuskers. He's taking the time to join us to talk Husker football. Big showdown for the Huskers coming up Saturday night against Ohio State. Greg, how you doing?
Things are good. Obviously need a few more wins for the Huskers. Last week was tough, and what a tough part of the schedule here with Wisconsin and Ohio State back-to-back, two top 10 teams. You know what? That's never happened in the history of Memorial Stadium, which has been around almost 100 years.
Wow, that is impressive. And the other thing that's amazing is that Nebraska is a 24-point underdog at home. I didn't think I'd see the day that would happen.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking, isn't it, to see that. Last week the Huskers were a 12-point dog and really fought hard. We're within the touchdown going to the fourth quarter, but the Badgers kind of wore Nebraska down a little bit. And the Buckeyes... The Buckeyes certainly have kind of found themselves after that early loss to Oklahoma. They've racked up over 50 points in their last three games. They're going to be a challenge.
All right, so just your average football season so far for you, right? I mean, the defensive coordinator is under fire after the first game. The athletic director is relieved of his duties. A loss to Northern Illinois. Quarterback's throwing some pick sixes. But other than that, it's been pretty normal business as usual, right?
It's been just a very interesting year. You know, it was kind of a reboot for Mike Riley going into his third year here at Nebraska. He made the decision after last year to change defensive coordinators, and not only changing coordinators, but changing schemes, going from a four-man defensive front to a three-man defensive front. I think a lot of people thought it was going to take four or five games for that defense to kind of lock in, and I think they have played better after the first couple of weeks. Offensively, Nebraska was changing styles as well, not so much the offense but the style of the quarterback. Having Tommy Armstrong, a dual-threat quarterback, for four straight years, he graduated last year, and so Nebraska went with Tanner Lee, a transfer from Tulane, who's a pocket passer, and he's had his struggles. He hasn't been as accurate as I think a lot of people thought he would be, and now Nebraska doesn't have the run game threat out of the quarterback spot. So trying to find a different way to score and move the football offensively here in year three for Coach Riley.
Well, and I know injuries have not helped. Trey Bryant, I understand, was back at practice. What's the status for him and the Huskers in general going into this game against Ohio State?
Yeah, the Trey Bryant thing's been really interesting because he has a chronic knee issue, and the Huskers were careful with him during August as they prepared for the season, giving him some days off here and there. And then he came out of the week one game limping around, and then he got hurt in the second game of the year against Oregon after he'd already gotten over 100 yards rushing. Hasn't played since. He did practice a little bit yesterday, but then he left yesterday's practice early. So I'm not sure whether he'll get back on there. Nebraska's running game has still been pretty good even in his absence. In five of the six games this year, they've had a rusher go over 100 yards, with Divine Azigbo getting over 100 each of the last three games. So that's an area where Nebraska's got a little bit of depth, and they'd love to have Bryant back, but Azigbo and Wilbon have done a nice job for the Big Red back there carrying the load.
Greg Sharp, the voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, with us today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. You mentioned the defense and how it has improved ever since halftime of that Oregon game. What would be the reasons you would share with people that why the defense has improved? You mentioned the change, and I'm sure just the fact of getting more time with these kids and learning the system would improve the defense, but are there any other keys to why this defense has improved that much?
Well, I just think when you change from that four-man front to the three, your linebackers are all taking different angles. Nebraska converted some defensive ends to outside linebackers, so all new positions for those guys. The Huskers started the year with two brand-new corners, and so you knew they were going to have some growing pains, particularly when you play a pass-happy team like Oregon in week two, and they did. They certainly got toasted a bit in that Oregon game, but they kind of bowed up and played really well in the next three games against Northern Illinois, Rutgers, and Illinois. In fact, went seven straight or ten quarters, was only giving up one touchdown. Now, Wisconsin pushed them around a little bit last week, but I just think learning where the angle is for a linebacker and the safeties in the new scheme started to make more sense for them. And that, plus getting some guys back, Chris Jones is probably Nebraska's best defensive player. He hurt a knee in July. Huskers finally got him back out on the field for a few snaps last week, and look for Chris to play even more this week against Ohio State.
You talked about Tanner Lee, and he's a pocket passer and transferred from Tulane. Lots of pick sixes, and certainly the crowd one game started booing Tanner, which you hate to see that of any college athlete, but at the same time, he has been struggling. You know, if they knew what was going wrong, they would fix it. I get that. But is it a matter of him just not making the right read? Is it him forcing the ball? Is it him and the receivers not on the same page?
A little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's made some poor decisions. The Huskers have had some injuries in the wide receiving core, so they've had to really kind of go down the depth chart to get people out there. And in a couple of games, he just didn't have very good protection. The Northern Illinois game where he threw two passes that got taken back for scores, he was getting hit on every play. So the offensive line had a very bad game. Now, they've been better the last couple of weeks. And last week, there were a couple of drops mixed in there, and I also thought he wisely threw the ball away a few times last week against Wisconsin, which is a good sign and a sign of maturity for a quarterback to realize that on a certain snap the play may not be there. Just get rid of it and go to second down or go to third down, whatever the case may be. Don't try to force something in there and make something happen. So I think he's making some progress. Last week the pick six against Wisconsin was just a little swing pass in the flat. He probably threw it a shade too early. The running back didn't have his head turned yet, bounced off his shoulder pad up in the air, and the linebacker for Wisconsin grabbed it and ran it to the other end. So that was a rather unfortunate turn of events.
Ohio State, the opponent coming up this Saturday evening there at Memorial Stadium. And the Buckeyes, as you mentioned earlier, they've been on a roll since they lost to Oklahoma. They've righted the ship. What's the biggest concern Nebraska has going into this matchup?
Well, I think it's just their athleticism across the board. I mean, when you play Wisconsin, you're playing against a bunch of tree trunks who wants to be big and physical and try to push you around. Ohio State can do a little bit of that, but they can also run around you. They just have better athletes than Wisconsin does, and quite frankly, they have better athletes than Nebraska does. So you just worry about, can you keep up with the speed and tempo of the Buckeyes, who are also going through a bit of a transition. They changed offensive coordinators after last season as well, and I think they're starting to find their stride under Kevin Wilson, the former Indiana head coach and former offensive coordinator Oklahoma, who now is at Ohio State. So they're starting to kind of find their form a little bit. That's scary from a Nebraska standpoint, because if they get it going again Saturday night, it could be a tough night.
You know, I have a lot of Husker fans, and I talk with them on a pretty regular basis, and you certainly know this as well as anybody, that this is Nebraska football is, in essence, the professional sport in the state of Nebraska. And some fans kind of, not literally, but live and die with how the football team is from season to season. And when I talk to my good friends that are Husker fans, they weren't, you know, when Mike Riley was hired, that wasn't the wow hire, but they were willing to give him a chance. What's the feeling? You've got a better pulse than we do down here. What's the feeling with Mike Riley now that there's a interim athletic director in Dave Remington? What's the feeling about Mike Riley and his job security and what he or the team might have to do the rest of the year to make sure that he can come back next year?
Well, I think his status is tepid. I think he knows that. I think, you know, this season needs to end in a bowl game. Right now the Huskers are 3-3. I mean, a lot was expected of Mike Riley. He inherited a program that had won at least 9 games each of the previous 7 seasons. And I think the thought was, you get a veteran coach who's really respected, we'll coach this team up, and Nebraska can take that next step. Well, that's not happened. It's really kind of gone the other way for Nebraska now. I think this staff has done a good job in organizational skills, and I think they're recruiting at a really good level and clip for Nebraska right now, but the results haven't been there on the field. And I think a season that ends in not getting to a bowl game it'd be really difficult to bring Coach Riley back next year. Now, Dave Remington probably will not be making that decision. I think Nebraska's closing in on hiring a new athletic director. I think they would like to have one in place by the end of this month, and then it will be that gentleman or female, whoever they go with, it'll be their determination on what to do with Mike Riley. But, you know, 5-7 in year one for Mike Riley. Last year he had a nice season, 9-3, but right now sitting here at 3-3, and you still have to play 2 top 10 teams in Ohio State and Penn State, they're going to have to get going if they're going to make a bowl game here in about 6 weeks.
Help people understand the animal that is Nebraska football. What I mean by that is, we know that Frank Solich was fired after he won 9 games. Bo Pelini, all he would do is go 9-4, 9-4, 9-4. That wasn't good enough, but at the same time, we know there were some extenuating factors there. And for people on the outside looking in, and you know how this is, Greg, the national perspective as well, is, wow, why would you get rid of coaches that are winning 9-8 games, and be careful what you wish for? It could always be better, but it could always be worse. Can you explain the animal that is Nebraska football and why an organization like the Huskers would get rid of coaches that do have winning seasons?
Well, I think the best equation for folks in Kansas to get would be Kansas basketball. And mm-hmm. when you're used to going to the Final Four and winning occasionally national championships, if all of a sudden you slipped where you were you know, finishing second or third in the Big 12, and you were making the tournament but usually getting bounced before the Sweet 16 every year, I think people would get impatient really quickly. I think that's what's happened to Nebraska because of the success in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s that you came up just short. And you're right with Bo Pelini. I'm not sure it was as much about the wins and losses for him because he averaged almost 10 wins a year at Nebraska. I think he had, in his 7 years, he had three seasons that won 10 games and the other four he won nine. But it was more of the off-the-field stuff with Bo, and I think it was time for a change. The program needed a kind of a fresh start from him. But he certainly won at a pretty high level, but not at the level that Nebraska was really used to compete for conference championships year in and year out. Nebraska's not won a football conference title since 1999. That's a long ways back, yeah. And they're getting harder and harder to win because now you're in a 14-team league. It's much harder to win that than it was in the Big 8 days when you only had seven other teams to compete at. But you're right, there's no pro team, so there's incredible amount of media presence. Mike Riley comes off the practice field after a Tuesday practice, and there's 40 to 50 media members waiting to interview him with microphones and cameras, and that doesn't happen a lot of places around the country. So it's on the front page basically 365 days of the year. You're right, it's the biggest thing in this state, and it gets an awful lot of attention, and you know, you also fill up a 90,000-seat stadium seven times a year. So there's a great amount of interest and pressure in the job.
Greg Sharp, the voice of the Cornhuskers, with us today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. We were having this discussion a few weeks ago. Is Nebraska still a top-flight, attractive job if it would come open again? So I'm going to put you in the role of a possible candidate to be the next head coach at Nebraska. I don't want to start any rumors here. Greg Sharp, by the way, folks, is not, as far as I know, doesn't want to be the head football coach in Nebraska. He's okay being the play-by-play guy. But if you were in that role and you were a coach out there and you look at Nebraska, what would you say would be some of the pros of why you would be interested in being the coach, and then what might be some of the challenges or cons of taking a job like that?
Well, I think it's still a national brand. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, everybody has smartphones these days, and everybody has these apps. So there's an app called the TuneIn Radio app where you can listen to broadcasts from all college and pro teams around the state. So if you're a Nebraska fan and you live in California, you can pull up the app on your phone. You can be listening to our broadcast on a Saturday. We're the number one app, selling app in the country for college football. It's either us or Florida. Each week we kind of go back 1-2, 1-2. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, the passion for the Nebraska fan base is incredible. The 360 consecutive sellouts going back to 1962, one of the biggest stadiums in the country with 91,000 seats, five national titles next to our name, which is still really high up there, the most wins in college football in the last 40 years. All those things are pretty impressive, yeah. And hardly anybody else in the country can match three Heisman Trophy winners. Very few programs can match all those things. Plus, you reside in the great conference of the Big Ten Conference, which currently has three top 10 teams going. So there's an awful lot of things that are attractive about the program. The negatives would be you can't change the fact that you live in a state with 1.8 million people. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to leave the state to go recruit, unlike a place like Texas or you know, TCU, where you can almost just basically stay in your neck of the woods and not have to even venture outside the state borders to go get a kid. So you have to do that. But there's so many built-in advantages. And I think, you know, Nebraska can certainly get back in a pretty quick way. All the powers can do that, and all the powers go through dips. I pulled up some research the other day that people keep saying we can't keep changing coaches over and over again. And Alabama, when Gene Stallings retired in 1997, from that point to when Nick Saban walked in the door in Tuscaloosa in 2007, they had four football coaches mm-hmm. during that 10-year period of time. Yeah. Oklahoma from 1988, when Barry Switzer stopped coaching the Sooners, until Bob Stoops showed up in 1998, they had three football coaches during that tenure. So you just have to find the right fit, the right way to manage it. And Nebraska, again, was only last November, Nebraska was 7-0, yeah. Ranked ninth in the country when they went to Madison and got beat in an overtime game. Yep. And really from that point on, the balloon's kind of, the air's kind of come out of the balloon. But just even 11 months ago, Nebraska was a top 10 football team.
Oh, those are all excellent points you made. Big Ten the move to the Big Ten, recruiting-wise, how has that changed how Nebraska recruits? You mentioned that they've done a good job recruiting. Maybe it's just not the right fits on the field. Maybe the kids are just not executing what the coaches are wanting them to do, or maybe it's not the right fit that they bring into the system. But overall, in regards to the Big Ten versus when they were in the Big 12, how did the recruiting change for Nebraska?
Probably not as much Texas recruiting as we were doing in the Big 12 because we don't play down there as often. Maybe more of a shift to recruiting into Illinois and Ohio where there's excellent high school football. So that would be one thing. But Nebraska, down through the years, has always been able to recruit nationally. You go back to some of the great names in Husker football history. Tommy Frazier was a Florida kid, and Mike Rozier was from New Jersey. And, you know, Nebraska's had a ton of California kids and still do. So Nebraska's been able to recruit coast to coast all throughout their history. So I don't know if that's changed a lot. Probably not quite as much Texas recruiting now, and a little bit more into the upper Midwest and the Michigans, the Ohios, and the Illinois.
So the matchups against Ohio State, back to the field coming up on Saturday. You know, when I look at this game, and I thought Nebraska had a good chance, a decent chance against Wisconsin, I kind of like the matchup, and they'll be the underdog. And Nebraska, when they're at home, they're the favorite, as we know over many years. But this is a different role for Nebraska, and I think a lot of people would say they don't expect Nebraska to win this game, obviously, of a 24-point underdog. But, you know, when that happens, sometimes, you know, all the pressure's on the favorite. Plus, there's a situation where Nebraska is at home. They'll have the crowd behind them. What do you think about their chances against Ohio State?
You always have a chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, who gave Iowa State a chance last week in Norman, Oklahoma?
Right.
I mean, that was the upset of all upsets with a walk-on quarterback going out there. Nebraska's going to have to play an excellent game, there's no doubt. Ohio State's really good, playing very well. Senior quarterback and JT Barrett. They've got all the weapons. But you're right. Momentum is an interesting thing in college sports. And when you kind of least expect something to happen, a lot of times it steps up and does it. Nebraska's got good football players. They just have to come in and play a very complete game and can't make mistakes. In last week's game, the Huskers get the opening kickoff, have a beautiful drive going, and then throw the ball out on the flat that gets deflected up in the air and picked and run back the other way. So instead of going up 7-0 or 3-0, Nebraska's down 7-0 early in the game. You can't do things like that against good teams like Wisconsin or Ohio State. So play the perfect game, maybe not perfect, but darn near it, I think, to beat the Buckeyes.
The Huskers after that have Purdue on the road after a bye week, Northwestern at home, at Minnesota, at Penn State, and then home against Iowa. And you were talking about being bowl eligible is very important to this team. When you look at the rest of that schedule, what stands out to you?
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. I mean, Purdue is maybe the surprise of the Big Ten at this point in time. Under their first-year coach, Jeff Brohm, they played excellent football. They've got 3 wins already under their belt. Knocking off Minnesota last week, that will be a challenging game for Nebraska. Northwestern always seems to play well in Lincoln. They've won twice here, and Nebraska needed a Hail Mary to beat them the other time they were here. So that's always a dogfight with them. Going to Minneapolis in mid-November, phew, you could be playing that in a snowstorm. And they're built for that kind of a type of a game with just their running attack. So that's going to be a fight. I think Penn State's outstanding. They're a top 5 team right now. I think that's going to be a real challenge. And Iowa's had the better of Nebraska. They've won 3 of the last 4 matchups against the Huskers, and the only win for Nebraska in the last 4 years against the Hawkeyes was an overtime game at Iowa City, which happened to be Bo Pelini's last game as their head coach. So there's not a gimme left in that schedule, and that's why, going back to Mike Riley's status, he's got to find a way to win at least 3 of those games to get the Huskers into a bowl-eligible status. So it's going to be a challenging month and a half here for the Big Red.
I agree with you. All right, Greg, I'm going to put you in charge of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. You have 4 teams to select as of now based on the resume up to this point. What 4 teams do you have in your playoff?
Well, great question. I think Bam and Clemson have certainly done enough to be 1 and 2 in some form or fashion. I'm not sure which one you go 1. Maybe Clemson gets 1 because they're the defending champion. I think Penn State's done quite a bit to earn it. They've already won at Iowa, and they've won at Northwestern last weekend. And I just think with McSorley and Barkley, they've got 2 of the best weapons in the country. And right now, probably Washington would be the other one that I would get in there. Interested to see TCU, although I think they still have some really challenging games in the Big 12 to play, including this one against K-State on Saturday. So I think right now they would be on the outside, but probably those 4 at this moment, but certainly there's a lot of football and a lot of twists and turns of the season to come. And I don't want any Georgia fans snipping at me because I see them as well. I think they're a pretty good football team down there in Athens.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, time for off-the-wall question before we let you go. I have three children. You have two children. You told me before we went on the air that one's in college already and one is in high school. So I'm going to take you back a little ways. What was a show that your kids were engrossed in but that you got sick of? Or maybe this would be a better question for your wife, or maybe you guys know that you'd have the same answer. I do not know. Was there a show when they were growing up that you just said, oh my goodness, not this again?
Yeah, two of them come to mind. One, when they were really young, Teletubbies. Remember
show?
Yeah,
yeah.
Where those things were dressed up and they'd bop around. That was the dumbest thing, but my goodness, my kids were mesmerized by that. And then maybe Hannah Montana. That was one that they were certainly into. In fact, my oldest daughter went to a Miley Cyrus concert where she did half the concert as Miley Cyrus and the other half as Hannah Montana. So probably those two shows.
Hannah Montana. Wow. You know, Miley's changed a little bit since those days Hannah Montana, to say the least. Mine would be Barney and SpongeBob, but especially Barney. That was one that just drove me nuts. But my other kids, my latest two children, they have not gotten to Barney, but that's probably because we threw out that DVD, and it's not in our house.
That, or was it maybe still a VCR from the Barney days? But yeah, Selena Gomez was a member of that Barney's Cash. Remember that?
No, really? I don't remember that.
Go back and look. Selena Gomez is one of the little girls in that Barney Cash.
Actually, I'll trust you on that. I do not want to go back and look because I'm done. I'm done with Barney, hope, for the rest of my life. Hey, Greg, you do a great job as always. We appreciate your time and have a great call this Saturday, Huskers against Ohio State.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
That's Greg Sharp, the voice of the Huskers here on the Sports Ticket.